whiteboards and snacks. How am I going to compete with that? I need like pyrotechnics and confetti or something like. Maybe some sock puppets up here, right? There we go. We'll figure something out, won't we? We'll get it figured out. So, got all kinds of neat tricks up here, doing all kinds of cool stuff or whatever. So, I don't know. Tonight we're going to be talking about holding on to truths. Yes. Amen. We're going to hold on to the truths. Hold the line, right? Yes. That famous saying Mel Gibson did in The Patriot, there where it just seemed like they were fighting the British. Everything seemed lost. Everybody's running away. And he grabs the American flag and he says, hold the line. And then everybody, why? Because there's a plan. Mm-hmm. There was a plan in place. And so, you know, the British were chasing the regular army or the U.S. Army there, or the, well, like before that. But they were chasing them over the hill, and then they had a plan, right? God's got a plan. I said, God's got a plan. And if we will just hold out with our faith, then, again, hold on to truths. Hold on to truths. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. You know, we're living in very exciting times. And here's the thing. The devil wants you when, for example, when Jesus was going to the cross there in Garden of Gethsemane, you know, or when Jesus came out and after John the Baptist baptized him in the water, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness, right? And then from there, what did the devil do? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And then the pressure came. Now, there's scientific proof because, you know, they're talking about that you can get to the point where you have so much stress that you begin to sweat blood. That's what happened to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The pressure was so strong. The pressure was on. That's what the devil, he'll come along, he'll bring pressure, right? Pressure. Tries to manipulate you and everything else and bring pressure. Remember I talked about several weeks ago, the devil likes to give you option A and option B, and you say, no thanks, I choose option M, right? Your choices are none of the above for me. You don't dictate to me what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and what I'm going to believe and what I'm not going to believe. I'm going to dictate to you the way things are going to go. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low esteem. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, we can say, be not wise in your own what? Eyes, another translation says, right? So what seems to be going on, that's where faith comes in, doesn't it? Faith calls those things that be not as though they were, and fear calls things that are not reality, reality. It just basically lies about the situation. Every time that God's people in the Bible faced the enemy, it was never as it seemed. It was all just a smoke screen. That's where the devil comes in. It's all just a lie. It's a big smoke screen. God's word will be here once the stars are gone, everything's gone. When we're in eternity, his word will still be here. It will still be in effect, and it will still manifest what he said it would do. Philippians 1:27, I want to read out of the Message Bible tonight some scripture. I just love calling the devil's bluff, you know? He is such a liar. He's a manipulator, especially in this environment where we're living in supposedly a mandate, which is there's no mandate on record. There's no record of anything. It's just, you know, the imposter, the fake president got up and made some blab, some garbage, never followed up with any paperwork. There's no document. That's why we haven't seen any kind of counter suing, because they're like, there's nothing to sue against. It just doesn't exist. There's like, what, 20-some state Secretary of States in different states right now. They're not suing and pursuing because there's nothing to sue. There's nothing to sue against because nothing exists, right? That's the devil. He's all just blow and nothing to back anything up, right? And so when you begin to call the devil's bluff, when he comes to you, intimidate you about anything, he's a liar. He doesn't like people like me, and he doesn't like people like you if you stand up and you have a backbone, right? We know Facebook is definitely like that. Anybody that has any opinion, you know, it's crazy. I saw this online. Some people are posting it with a little flower, and it said, you know, like, be yourself or something like that. And then I got... Right, you have to stand up alone, a little picture of a flower, and somehow that was hostile. And so it was sensitive content. And I'm like, what is this world coming to, right? Because you say that, oh, we need to be free thinkers, just that word. Now it's like, now you're evil. Man, Jesus was really a rebel back then, wasn't he? So Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Your conduct must be the same whether I show up to see things for myself or hear them from a distance. Stand united. Here we go. Singular in vision. Contending for the people's trust in the message. The good news. Not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. Woo! Yeah. Defeat for them, victory for you, and both because of God. There's far more in this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for him, and the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. You're involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through. Hello? On which you are now getting an updated report in this letter. Interesting here. I love the scripture and the message. It talks about don't flinch or dodge in the slightest before opposition, right? Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. See, the problem is right now, guys, and not just the body of Christ, but we're seeing anything that comes up against any kind of righteousness, right? Any kind of anything, it's trying to be squelched, right? We don't want people to get on the same page. We want people to talk. That's why the whole COVID thing, it was like, well, you stay in your little house and you stay over here and let's not communicate. Let's not get people around, anything like that. You know, this is all super dangerous. Come on, give me a break, right? The name of Jesus is above every name. COVID, any other garbage out in the world, right? Genesis chapter 11. We're going to look at, I'm not going to get through it all tonight. We're going to look at people that are in unity. And the world system doesn't want you to be in unity. They want you to be on their side. They want you to say everything that they say. You know, here's the thing. When people don't agree with me, I don't fall apart. But you know, the media and the world system, they go absolutely bananas if you don't believe everything that they say. They absolutely just fall apart. The devil can't handle it. He has a coronary. When you say no, he just goes insane, right? No, 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 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. I am never going to do that. I am always going to stick with the word. I'm always going to stick with righteousness. And I care about people. And we want people to know the truth. The devil doesn't want people to know the truth. He wants them to be blind to do what he wants them to do. And so we see here, we see a group of people, they got together, they were in one mind and one accord. In Genesis chapter 11, we're talking about the Tower of Babel here. In verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So we have people. Now, can you imagine what kind of accomplishment that they could do at that time? Everybody spoke the same language. Everybody was on the same page, right? And then it says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found plain the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Well, I looked up Shinar. It's basically their belief that the cradle was of humanity and the Garden of Eden was somewhere probably around Iraq, Iran area, okay? And then they went northwest, which is probably between where this was at, was probably between Iraq and Turkey somewhere, was where the Tower of Babel was at, okay? And so they went there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly and make the brick for stone and the slime for the mortar. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. So we're going to be famous, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. And what, here we go, is an interesting phrase, the children of men builded. I like, we're going to save that for later, right? That's the children of men. There's obviously something there. The reason why he said the children of men, there was some kind of weird offspring there, a children of men. And then he goes on in verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. So they're one mind and one accord. Now, are these people born again? No. Do they have the power of God with them? No. And then it says, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. These people are of one mind, one accord. They are unstoppable, the Lord is saying, right? This is where the devil wants to get us, is divided. Yeah. Right? That's why he likes church splits. That's why he likes everything else, because if we're divided and we're off on different things and we don't get united, that's where we are powerless, right? And that's why the New World System, they want to get us divided, right? They want to have us in political systems, and they want to have, you know, this political party fighting against this political party, and this person against this person, and this belief against this belief, because if people get united, they're strengthened, and then we can't overcome, right? We can't bully them anymore. We can't conquer them. And so there's power in unity. And I'm primarily focusing on, again, the Spirit-filled message, the being born again, what the Word has to say. And it, so it goes on, and he says, let us go down there, the Lord's talking, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So they quit. Therefore is the name, and I'm reading out of King James just because it kind of brings the context a little more clear. I don't believe it, but it does. Therefore, in the name of it, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. So we're seeing people who came together, they had one mind, one accord. They were going to build this city. They're going to make themselves famous. They were going to basically leave God out of it. And they were going to do this themselves. And they were going to make them their way to heaven and all this other supposedly good stuff. And God said, no, they're going to accomplish what they're trying to do, and this can't happen. So we see that, number one, one mind and one accord. That's important. And the sad thing is we've got so much division around us, but I believe in these end times, God is going to bring things back for us. I believe that, you know, people are going to strive and hunger for the things of God. And so, and that's why, no matter, not just things going on in the world, but be strong in especially the Spirit-filled message, because we know there's a lot of folks in this area that don't believe that, right? And the crazy thing is, you know, we see people all over. Well, we see people that, you know, we know friends of ours and people that they're in non-Spirit-filled churches, but then they'll have Bible studies about, you know, try to get people from other churches to come in and have some Spirit-filled thing. It's like, why don't you go to a Spirit-filled church? Why are we, you know, that's just, to me, that's just weird. But, they're like, well, we had a guy come here one time. He's Spirit-filled. He says, well, I'm Spirit-filled and everything else too. But he was going to church that didn't believe it, right? So the pastor was not on board with him. Well, you know, he said, well, I'm going to be there just to help change the pastor's mind. Well, it's like, well, he's not going to go against you and then upset 500-600 people, mm-hmm. Right? No, he wants people to be, just like we read, one mind and one accord. And so, you know, and I had the privilege, I know Gary did, and Adrian, and all of us, and Debbie, and some other of us, you know, we had the pleasure of meeting, I believe, one of the greatest Bible teachers that have ever lived, Brother Hagin. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Hagin is the most, I believe, one of the most anointed people to teach about the Spirit-filled life. Mm-hmm. Amen? He is probably, hands down, one of the most gifted teachers that I've ever experienced ever. And so when you're around someone like that, it's just amazing to draw from them. And, you know, we obviously saw Brother Hagin when we were still alive and met him, you know, but he's just a tremendous gifted teacher. And it's so, he breaks it down so much as far as the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to receive it, the importance of it, what happens, all of these other things. And so he just has brought a huge, how can I say, definitely a gift to the body of Christ as far as the Spirit-filled message. And I just remember listening to, Oral Roberts' son, Richard Roberts, talking about going to school and getting beat up every day because his dad was a Spirit-filled minister, right? It's what are we going to do to get this out, right? Because what's the thing that when Jesus became empowered there in the book of Luke, it was because the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, went out, and he totally destroyed the devil at that point. And the devil knows that if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's over, right? Game's over. We get legs behind that and start mobilizing, and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's game's over. Why? Because like Brother Hagin said, the gateway to the supernatural is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm never going to apologize for it. I don't really care. Again, other people say we're mocked all the time. We're laughed behind our back all the time. And it's like, I can give you 10 scriptures for everything that I believe, and you can't give me one, right? Are we Bible people, or are we just, you know, we're just going along with our own creed and what our church says and what our church believes? My goodness, if I ever get off topic here and get, you know, we're leave the church. Why would you stay in a church where somebody's not going to be biblically sound in what they teach? You know, I have problems sometimes of putting too many scriptures, and I have to kind of bring things back. But I don't know if there is a too much scripture. Amen. Because I think, again, you just read the scripture, it's gonna show itself. So we see people here that were completely heathens. They weren't even believers of God, and they were accomplishing something because they had unity. And the devil is fighting all of us, you know, as far as unity is concerned. And I believe in these end times, we're going to see unity. Yes. Amen? Amen. And yes. So, you know, and I laugh, Peter, and I laugh because, you know, they'll mock us behind our back. The people will make comments about, you know, oh, those Spirit-filled people and everything, but they love ripping our music off. They got no problem with stealing our music, right? Yeah. You know, they'll make fun of Bill Johnson and me and other people, right? They'll laugh us up, yeah, right. Everything else too, but they'll sing Bethel music in their churches, right? Because that's cool, and everybody wants that. But anyway, I'll get off that. But so we need to press in even more for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you know, I, for myself, I mean, I went to a, and I've talked about this before, I went to a church that was basically like a tongue-talking Baptist church. It was like we were, their gifts of the Spirit were there, but nobody knew how to do anything. It was like we were kind of in this twilight zone, you know? It was like we were kind of, but then we weren't, and it was really kind of weird. So I didn't have any real teaching when I was younger, you know? And so it was kind of this, I almost didn't really know where we stood, you know? And it was kind of in this weird twilight. I didn't really know where we stood. But when I began to understand what Brother Hagin taught and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just the amazing things that happened at that point, it set me free, right? Because now when I read the word, it wasn't just print on a paper, but it became alive. And Jesus says that the word and the Spirit, he told the woman at the well, didn't he? She said, oh, we'll drink. No, you need the word and the Spirit. He told her that. Because you've got to have both. People will say, well, I just need the word. Yeah, we do need the word, but we got to have the Holy Spirit to begin to illuminate things, to bring those to light, don't we? And if we don't, that becomes just a dead religion. That's why Jesus, when he came out of the water, when John the Baptist baptized him, when he was baptized, that's when things came. Because he was the word, right? John 1:1, the word was with God, the word was God, in the beginning was the word, and the word, right? And then later it says he became flesh and dwelt among men in verse 14. Jesus was already word. What was missing? The Spirit upon him. Mm-hmm. Then he's a powerhouse. And demons are flying and screaming all over the place. Oh, when did he come to torture us before our time? Ah! Right? Because they saw that glory on him and that anointing. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but don't get in his way, right? Especially if you're on the other side. It's not going to be good for you, right? But he loves us. He gives us comfort and strength. But anyway, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people are looking for so much stuff. I remember when I was in college, I was just thinking about this today, you know, when I studied music in college, and if you, especially in music, one thing you're going to study classical music, right? You're going to study Bach, Beethoven, Chopin, all of these classical people, right? That's the main thing. And so my guitar teacher was a good guy back then. He was a really good blues and rock player, right? So he was really good at that. Later, we ended up playing in a band together. I joined his band and, you know, learned a lot of things. But there was a point where I really wanted to study classical. And I'm like, I really want to, because obviously I had to do a recital and other things just for my coursework. I really needed to study with somebody that was specialized in that area, okay? So I went to my professors and I'm like, this is what I'm wanting to do. So I went and I studied with, I still am into Andre Segovia. He's like, I don't even know him, but he's a Spanish classical guitar player. You know, he passed away in the 90s, but I listen to him all the time. So I actually got in connection with someone here in Des Moines area that had studied under him. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I came up to Des Moines, I drug Adrian along with me. So I would have an hour lesson with him, right? Why was it? Because I had to get somebody specialized with the knowledge and information that I needed, right? There was a point where I said, okay, these people are great, this person's great, but I've got to move on with someone with knowledge and understanding that I need to go where I'm going. And then later I started getting into jazz stuff. I'm like, I need to get into jazz. And then I ended up going to, you know, again, the guy I was with was great, but it just could not go to where I wanted to go. And so I ended up going to University of Iowa with the director of jazz musician over University of Iowa. So I studied at University of Iowa. Take Adrian, and we go up on a Saturday. And I'd sit, and this guy, he was like a beatnik, you know, and he'd have jazz albums like this whole wall, right? And we would be like laying against his couch like this. Okay, this is different than the classical guy, right? The classical guy is like, sit straight, you're doing this, you're not doing this. And this guy's like smoking a cigarette while I was like, yeah, man, whatever. All right, dude, well, this is what we're going to do, right? But the point is, I needed to get connected with people that were going to help me to the next level in where I was going. Doesn't mean those people were bad. It just means I needed to study and do things with people that are going to get me to where I'm going, right? If I'm wanting to exercise or do things, I'm not going to ask Miss Piggy from the Muppets, right? But I'm going to ask Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hello? You know, you need to stop being a girl of mine and you need to pump some iron, right? Not a very good Arnold. I'm sorry. But the point is this, that I need to connect with people that are going to help me. And so Andrew and I, we got married and we come across a Rhema church there. And why was it important? Because when we first got married, we're like, we're going to find a church, you know, there in town. And we went to a church. And, you know, this is a crazy thing. It was spirit-filled. There was a Holy Ghost meeting. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This has got to be the one. And then we ended up going to another church. Ended up being a Rhema church. And then I don't remember anything. This is what, and I've talked about this before. I couldn't remember Pastor Bill's name. I couldn't remember what he talked about, preached about, or anything. But when I went in and I shook the usher's hand, something happened to me. We went to other church. It was great. Nobody even greeted us or anything. And we went in. But when I went to that church, something happened to me. And we were like, we got to find out what happened to us. Right? And the teaching that we got, of course we had Holy Ghost meetings and there were great things, but there was something that he taught And then a few months later, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've been striving for it so long, but the information, see, even though I was at good places, it wasn't bad. There were good churches, right? But I needed to connect with people that could take me to the next, take me to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit to move on, right? That's where I needed to be. And so, you know, to be like-minded in one accord, you're around people that believe the same thing. And so the Spirit-filled message is going to be very paramount in these days to come. And I know for a fact, I've had experiences where I probably wouldn't be here if the Holy Spirit wasn't leading and guiding me. Right? I mean, I've been in near-death experiences. I've been in a few close calls, and the Holy Spirit led me to do things. You need to move here. You need to do this. Right? I mean, I've had at least three or four now where I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. And then, but ever, all the religious people would say, well, you know, God took him home. It was his time to go. You know, it's appointed for a man once to die. The appointed once to die. No, it does. It says appointed once to die, not reincarnation. Okay? God's not, you know, oh, his time's up. Whack him. That's not the plan, is it? No. I'm here until I'm ready to check out. God and I, when we're done, that's when I'm going to step on the other side in glory. And just like Jesus' time, that was his appointed time. That was his assignment. If the Lord tarries, again, Mark chapter 4. Man, this is good stuff, and I'm not taking any of it back. Amen. And the sad thing is, many people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit now are they're going through like this buyer's remorse thing. We've seen that before too, you know, this buyer's remorse thing. Well, I don't know about this stuff anymore. No, it works. I'm telling you right now. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've never had experiences before, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I remember the first time that I had something manifest in front of me, and it was the night Brother Hagin was preaching, and they had a prayer meeting in St. Louis that night. It was a Sunday night. And I remember I was flipping through the TV, and I was watching, and I turned it off, and then I had a spiritual experience that night, right? And I'd been praying right before that. Well, that was one of the first times that I had actual an entity, manifest in front of me. And then I had all kinds of other things happen, and I still have these things. The other night, for example, I was praying, and we were listening to something, and I was taking a shower. When I stepped into the shower, I was instantly I was in another place, which I don't want to talk about. We talked about it Wednesday night because I got kids here. But I was instantly taken. The Lord showed me an open vision of this place and what was happening. And it's like none of that stuff has happened to me before until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showing me things, and he opens things, and he shows me things about people, and I pray things about. It's not, you know, and this is something about maturing in the Lord. When the Lord shows you something, it doesn't mean you blab it to everybody, right? You know, oh, sister so-and-so, I saw it. Well, guess what the Lord showed me? No, pray about it. We don't need to gossip about people, right? But the point is this, and just like Brother Hagin said, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's a gateway into the supernatural. And I've seen things about, and I've shared some things, but like, for example, I knew about the Lord showed me about, the governor of New York, that he would be removed. And, you know, and so the Lord is going to show you things so he'll be able, you'll look back and you go, yeah, that was the Holy Spirit that was showing me things. Amen? And so it's not just about these things, but it confirms things on the inside. It builds your faith towards him. And then when you spend time with him and the Holy Spirit manifests because you live a Spirit-filled life, then he trusts you with more, trusts you with more, trusts you with more. And then at the right time, you speak it out. And so it's very important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happens is many people, I'm not boring you tonight, am I? But what happens is many people will have an experience, they'll pray out some things, and then they stop and they give up and they lay down or they backslide, whatever the scenario is, and they say, well, that didn't happen. No, it's a pressing in. It's a lifestyle. It's something you breathe and you live. Right? I don't ask God for something. Oh, Lord, can I have experience today? It was like I was praying, and then all of a sudden, I'm opening the shower. I step in, and I'm in another place like that. Right? Here's the problem. This should be common to all of us, though. Right? We should be having experiences like this all of the time. And it was just so, the Lord showed me some things, and it was like, it was so vivid that I couldn't hardly talk about it, because it was one of those things where the Lord said, it's for you to pray, right? Because he needs people to pray out specific things about things, right? He needs things prayed out in natural sometimes. I don't know why God shows me things or he'll show you things, but you need to sit back and go, why am I seeing this? Because at the minute I was having an experience, I was like, Lord, what does this mean? Yes, I'm seeing this, but why am I seeing this? Amen. We should be seeing things more and more. Amen. And I believe we are going to see things. God wants, hear me just say this too. God wants to speak to you about things, because there are times where he'll speak to me about things or he'll speak to whatever. Adrian and I have been on the streets before or one time. He wants to give you words of wisdom or words of knowledge for people to read their mail so they'll wake up and come to him, right? I mean, one of the most amazing things, it was the Lord used Adrian to do, and I'm still like, okay, that is just the craziest thing I've ever seen. We were in New Orleans one time, and we're talking to this guy, and she starts prophesying to this guy. He pulls his paper out. Was it a paper out of his pocket? And everything you just said, it was on the paper. It was like she just read it to him. It was a letter. And you just said everything that was in that letter were almost word for word. And I was just freaking out going, okay, buddy, you need to repent right now, because I'm repenting for you, because this is like so weird. I'm like, whoa, this is craziness. You know, but the Holy Spirit will use you to help people and to connect with them, right? Now, what it is like, for example, you know, palm readers and all of these other people, they're using it to have gain for themselves, right? Psychics and all this other stuff, they're trying to, you know, use all of this other junk for their own gain. God wants to use you to help other people, right? We're not getting this stuff just because, oh, it's fun and God wants to use it and it's cool. There's always a purpose for the Holy Spirit to show and reveal things to you. There's always a purpose. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, what's this for, right? What am I doing this for? For example, when you're praying and you feel an anointing, even in the service, I'll say, okay, God, I'm sensing, you know, the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do, right? Because even if you have something, the next thing is, what do you want me to do with it? And you just don't want to, you know, it's never wasted, but it's just, I don't want to use it for the wrong thing. Where are you leading me to do this thing? So I am way off track, but that's okay. Sorry about that. Mark chapter 4. And we are not going to be able to go on much farther here on this, but I want to read Mark chapter 4, verse 3. And I believe this is a reason why many people have given up on the faith, okay? Meaning, baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is a reason, not the only reason, but it is something. In Mark chapter 4, and it says, listen, a farmer decided to sow some grain. So he's scattering seed, right? This is about the four soil types. As he scattered it across his field, and this is Jesus teaching, all right? He's teaching the disciples, and there's a multitude there, and he's talking about this, all right? He's teaching them. Some fell on a path, and the birds came and picked it off the hard ground and ate it. Some fell on thin soil with underlying rock, and it grew up quickly enough, but soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shadow soil. Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns that shot up and crowded the young plants so that they produced no grain. But some of the seeds fell into good soil and yielded 30 times as much as it was planted, and some of it even 60 and 100 times as much. If you have ears, listen. Now skip down to verse 14. Now the disciples said, "Hey, teach us what's going on." And Jesus is like, "Okay, I'll teach you here." And he says, the farmer, he explains it, I talked about, is everyone who brings God's message to others trying to plant good seed within their lives. The hard pathway where some of the seeds fell represents the hard hearts of some of those who hear God's message. And then Satan comes at once to try to make them forget it. Interesting, huh? The rocky soil, verse 16, represents the hearts of those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. And though at first they get along fine, as soon as persecution begins, they wilt. Verse 18, the thorny ground represents the hearts of people who listen to the good news and receive it. But all too quickly, the attractions of this world and the delights of wealth and the search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God's message from the hearts so that no crop is produced. But verse 20, but the good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accept God's message and produce a plentiful harvest for God, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was planted in their hearts. So we see here, this could be anything, right? This over here looks good. Or, you know, I've seen two people, it's like, well, Mr. Wrong or Mr. Right comes along. And then all of a sudden it's like we forsake our true love, those things that come along. Or, well, you know, I've got a job, or I've got this, or I got that. There's 1,000 different reasons. But sometimes offense comes along, right? People lose heart. They're offended. And so we're seeing all of these things. The Lord talks about that seed. What is the seed? It's the teaching. It's the revelation. It's that knowledge. It's that things that you've experienced. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake or don't forget all the benefits that he's done for you, right? Because what happens is then you turn. I mean, here's, we'll close with this, but here's the Hebrews. You know, God has just delivered them from the Red Sea experience. Right? I don't want to be one of them. Where God just delivered them from the Red Sea. They're sitting on the other side. The Egyptian army is totally destroyed. God has just showed up and showed off and amazing things happening. And then we see right after that, a couple of chapters later, we're going to kill Moses. God brought us out here to kill us. Everything's awful, terrible. Why? What happened? Because they got the word stole from their heart, didn't they? God just did these amazing things for them, delivered them, protected them, just amazing. They got, you know, all these provisions in the wilderness, and then it's, oh, woe is me, everything's awful, terrible. Did you just forget? No. He brought you out of this. See, that's what Mark chapter 4 is talking about. The cares of the life, all of these other things. You get these knuckleheads back there that's trying to come against, you know, Moses in the day, and then, well, eventually they got swallowed up, right? The ground opened up and swallowed them up, and they were no more. God's like, I've had enough of you. We're going to split the ground up. I'm going to just take you right to hell right now. We'll just skip the whole burial service. We'll skip your funerals. We'll just do it right now. I don't want to get on God's bad side, right? But we see that people, they lose faith in these things. They don't see what God has done for them. And then what do they do? I always like to say this. You never know if the big deal is right around the corner. Tomorrow may be the big deal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and sometimes when you feel the most pressure, this is where the most pressure is when you're going to experience the biggest breakthrough, right? Mr. Gary knows this, but nobody guards the dumps. Right? I mean, there's a gate there, but, you know, they just don't want, it's not they're afraid anybody's stealing stuff, they just don't want people dumping more stuff in there without paying, right? That's the big deal, okay? But nobody's breaking in the dump, stealing anything, all right? Because there's really nothing of value. It's all been used. But the devil, people guard things that are of value. Fort Knox, okay, I don't know if there's any gold in there or not, but whatever, we'll say there is. If there was gold, there's guards there. Hello? Where the Declaration of Independence is at? Yeah, it's guarded with glass, and then I think it goes underground, and it's all locked up, and yeah. So anything of value is guarded. It is, there's an attack on, there's pressure there. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord God. We thank you that we are never going to give up. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we value the Spirit-filled life. Lord, we value, Lord, being just living the life with you, Lord. That you came that we have life and have it more abundantly, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that our church, Lord God, that we're going to experience, we're going to see more and more people coming through the door that are hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. They're going to connect with it. I pray for the people that are in rebellion out there, that are in the wrong churches, that are trying to do things behind their pastors' backs, that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they would come into a sheepfold where it's encouraged, Lord Jesus. We thank you for, Lord God, that people that are an environment where they can live the Spirit-filled life and have more experiences with the Holy Spirit with you, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, before we close here, I just want to open it up. If anybody has obviously born again, we want to pray for you, but you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to give you an opportunity tonight too, okay? If that's you, let's just all close our eyes for a moment. I mean, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to tonight, just raise your hand. We want to pray with you. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Amen. Before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was just like, what am I doing here? I felt like I was just wandering around in the woods, you know, as a Christian. Like, I didn't have a clue what was going on. But once I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was like things became illuminated. It was amazing to me. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're always happy to pray out, pray with people. We always want to give people an opportunity. You know, Jesus told there in Mark chapter 11, my house is a house of prayer. Amen. Amen. And then he started kicking over tables and then cursed the fig tree and then it's all history. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we are having just a ball praying. Hallelujah. And we will see you all next week. Praise God. Next. Yeah.